It's right near the back of that particular book. So we thought we'd just turn things around a little bit. I'm going to preach now, and then we'll have some worship time as a response with prayer as well. And we're going to just continue just thinking a little bit, building on the last few weeks as we've been together. So obviously it's every fortnight, the way that the pattern works out with us being together like this. So last week people were gathering, but we were gathering in our missional communities. And the week before that, I was speaking about, what was I speaking about? I know what I was speaking about. I wonder if anybody else can remember. Oh, great. My wife was listening to me. Inside realities becoming your external realities. And I want to just take that a little bit further this morning by looking at some verses from Scripture and hopefully encouraging you with some of my thinking and reflections to help you in your particular response and walk with God in terms of where you might be in your journey with Him. So we're going to read some verses. These are from Isaiah 60, the first four verses from that chapter. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around you and see. So, I wanted just to think about this in terms of what Isaiah is commanding the people at the time. Isaiah was writing to the Israelites. They were probably in a context of exile, and they were in a place perhaps where it wasn't as encouraging as perhaps it had been for them. It was a difficult season, let's say, for them as a group of people. And here Isaiah commands them to arise. And I want to take that thought and apply it into a New Testament context. I want us to think about it in the context of us now being in post-New Testament, post-Jesus coming, and think about how this command to arise and shine can encourage us in our discipleship and in the way that we seek to follow Jesus. So just have a think about this with me for a moment. So the prophet Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come. So think about that in terms of post-New Testament. Who's come? Your light has come. Well, we can see that now in the context of Jesus. So we can see now that Jesus has come. And in fact, Jesus has come, and one of the ways that Jesus was described, and also described himself, was what? Light. So one of the ways that Jesus says about himself when he's talking to his disciples, he says, I am the light of the world. You can find that in John 8, the Gospel of John. I am the light of the world. So when we read this now, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. We can see it in the context of Jesus. Jesus is that light that has come. Do you see that? Then it says, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So, just think about this as well. So, what happened? These are not difficult questions, but I just want you to think a bit. What happened 3 days after Jesus died? He rose. He rose from the dead. It's the single most important thing that defines our faith. After the, you know, it's connected to the death of Jesus, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension. In a sense, they were three separate events, but they were one act in part of God coming to redeem, to save us as people. So, when it says here that His glory has risen upon us, the way that I understand that, as I think about it, is that 3 days after Jesus was crucified, he rose from the dead. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he did what? He ascended into heaven. Okay? What happened 10 days after he ascended into heaven? Shout up. Holy Spirit came. Pentecost. Okay, so just think about, that's just a sequencing which happened at the time. So Jesus was on Good Friday, that what we now call Good Friday, was crucified. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. 40 days later, he was ascending into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. The significance of the day of Pentecost is this. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was then sent to live inside you and me. So in terms of the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, that's how I see that being interpreted. That's how I see that being fulfilled. That now, the glory of the Lord, the presence of God, lives within us. This is what we were looking at, weren't we, in terms of our inner realities. My inner reality and your inner reality, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've received Jesus into your life, and you made that decision to follow him, we then receive the Holy Spirit to live inside us. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. So what are we to do? Well, the prophet Isaiah says we are to arise and shine. We are to arise and shine. Now, one of the things that we have to do when we start thinking about our internal reality impacting our external reality is that we have to begin to become more aware of what it is we actually see. Okay? So let me ask you a question again this morning. I want to try and make you think a bit this morning. When you look out onto society, let's say, look on across, just let's talk about our society or European society, what do you see? What do you see? That's a rhetorical question. You know, just have a think about it. What do you see? What is going on in our society? Well, again, the prophet Isaiah gives us an insight here. He says, "For behold, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people." So, actually, one of the realities that's going on externally is that people are living in darkness. Now, you may or may not agree with that. That would be a perception as you look out on society. And you could probably build an argument for that. But what we need to understand is if we're looking out across something, we need to begin to step back and ask the question, what do we see? I believe that society is in darkness. People are living in darkness. Now the question is, why don't many people see that? Because if you ask the average person that you know, maybe a friend at work or somebody that you're friends with, family member, and you start saying to them, well, people are living in darkness, they're not going to have the same perception, are they? Let me give you a bit of a clue as to why I think that's the case by jumping into the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you go into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've got Paul the Apostle's writing here. And he writes a few things in 2 Corinthians 4 that I think gives us some insight as to why the majority of people don't see what we perceive and see. So this is the first thing that Paul says. This is chapter 4, 2 Corinthians and verse 4. He says, "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." So, the first thing that we need to understand from that little passage is that there is somebody at work in our world whose job it is to blind people. Would you agree? That seems to be what Paul is saying here. And that this God, this person actually is the God of this world. Okay, so there is somebody in charge of our world who yes, is subject to the ultimate authority of God, but he is still referred to as a God. Small g, not capital G, if you look in the NIV. That's how they refer it. And part of what we need to understand is that this light that we're talking about that has come, there is somebody whose primary task is to stop people seeing that this light has come. That's pretty logical in my mind, thinking about it. So go down to verse 6. So it says verse 6, God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. For we now have this light shining in our hearts, for we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power is from God and not from ourselves. So what Paul is saying, from what I can understand, is that now, because of our decision to become a Christian, there's a light that's shining inside us. In fact, Jesus, when he was describing the fact that he was the light of the world, goes on to say, actually, you are the light of the world. So now, Paul is building on that and saying, you, me and you as Christians, God has made his light shine in our hearts, and we are like a clay pot with like a candle inside that is shining through us. And so the light isn't necessarily us, it's what's inside us. It's this light inside us. And then if you jump down to verse 18, Paul then writes, so don't look at the troubles we can now see. Rather, let's fix our gaze on things we cannot see. For things that we now see will be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. To me, that is the reason why I perceive things that are going on in society that actually are things that are not seen, but actually are greater realities than the things that we see. Am I making sense? It's so important that we perceive things that are going on spiritually, let's use that language, because that's the reality of what's going on in our society. That's what Isaiah is referring to when he says, thick darkness covers the peoples. Darkness covers the earth. There is a reality of life that by and large, most people live in it, sometimes touch into it, but they don't understand the greater reality of this spiritual life, this spiritual reality of light and darkness. Now, I know it's there, and we know it's there, and actually some of the greatest films, and Hollywood gets this really well, is that there is this ultimate battle going on between light and dark, and good and evil. That's really the basis of a lot of great films. Star Wars is probably based on that premise. Light and darkness. Some of the Avenger films, again, are based on this idea that there's something supernatural, something really good at work and something really bad at work. And I think Hollywood picks this up because it's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual truth of light and darkness. Now, you and I are in the midst of that. And so this is why it's really important for us to begin to ask God, to ask her to help us to perceive correctly, to see things that are really going on, to understand, as it were, the backstory of what's happening. So the way that begins to happen is to actually arise and shine. So I think what God wants us to do as people, in the midst of this whole thing of working out our internal realities and what we're believing, so what we see flows out of what we believe. Does that make sense? So what we see flows out of what we believe. So I believe, and I trust some of you believe, the reality is that now I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said to me. You can read about it in John's Gospel. He is the light of the world, but now that I've received him and I'm filled with his Holy Spirit, I am the light of the world. Light shines in my heart. So that inner reality is that there's a light that is shining, burning inside of me. It's the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. But that means when I walk into situations, that when I'm in a context, I walk in that situation with a perception that I am light. Therefore, if I am light, it doesn't matter how dark the place I go into actually is. Because the reality about dark and light is that it only takes a little light to change a dark room. It only needs you to go in with a small amount of light and it changes the room. The room is no longer dark. And I think what we have to watch ourselves, and I haven't really got time to go into this, but the danger can be if we start to perceive the darkness, and we perceive the darkness that's over the world, over our society, and if we're not too careful, we can become a little bit too focused on the darkness. We can start to reflect on how dark it is, and we can start to, yeah, we perceive things that are happening, and we realize that maybe things aren't as good as they could be. But what we need to make sure we don't do is go too far in our focus that way and really bring ourselves back to the reality of, well, actually now in this moment, in this society, in this context, us are light. So actually, if we are light, whenever we go into a context, the external reality is shifted by our presence. So am I making sense? So all of us in this room, and this builds on a little bit to what I was saying a couple of weeks ago about being the house of God and the gate of heaven, Genesis 28. So what, all of us in this room have influence. All of us have influence. All of us have been placed in a context where we can exert that influence. Some of us may be parents. And our greatest influence is over our children. And you've been given a God-given responsibility to influence your children. And you influence it out of who you are. You influence them. You have a responsibility to raise your children and to nurture your children up in terms of the Christian faith. That to me, personally, I'm not a parent, but if I was, it would be the most important thing that I have in my life would be to nurture my children. And I'm sure that's the same for many of you who are parents. If you're a teacher or an office worker or a manager, or you're a person who volunteers in a context, or you live in a neighborhood, you have influence in those places. And God wants us all to recognize that as we go about our lives, our internal realities, the stuff that we're believing about ourselves, what we're believing about what God has said to us, begins to affect the things that we see and the way that we live out these realities. So you and I can bring about influence for God and his kingdom by being who God has called us to be, and then in those moments having those opportunities to speak out things. And we're all caught up in this. We've all got a responsibility in whatever sphere of society you are influencing right now. So you might be in education, you might be in health, you might be in law, you might be in the voluntary sector, you might be in the arts and the media sector. You know, you might be in a sphere. And in that sphere, you, because of who you are, what God has done for you, God says to you, arise and shine. Arise and shine this week. And I think what we need to understand is it's not arise and reflect. It's not like we're reflecting what God has done. It's actually we are shining out what God is doing in us and through us. And we shine, we demonstrate that by the things that we do and the things that we say. Does that make sense? And so what's so important is that we do understand the things that we see. Let me just give you another example of this in Jesus' life. This is in John chapter 4. So in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this in verse 35. He says, "Do not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. So he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Jesus is saying to his disciples, what do you perceive when you look out on the harvest fields? Most people were perceiving 4 months from now there's going to be a harvest. But what Jesus wanted them to understand was actually he was seeing, as he lifted up his eyes, he was saying that the harvest was ready right now. And I felt when I was looking at this verse and thinking about it, I felt like God was saying to me personally, and maybe to us as a congregation, lift up our eyes and see that the harvest is ready. I don't know about you, but I've been around church for a lot of my life, and I've been committed to getting the gospel out in all sorts of ways. You know, one of the reasons why with Andy and Rach, we wanted to just acknowledge the 20 years, the 21 years of Trackers and DeBeers is because we wanted to recognize that that is all about getting the gospel out. It's about shining. And again, because Andy was, I was talking to Andy this week and just thinking about this stuff, I was thinking about how we started the Lighthouse Center. So we, some of you may not know this, but we have a building, that's our building, it's back in Hoole. It's a building that we've repurposed, let's say, back in 2004. So in 2004, we were praying about this building that we had. We spent a lot of money with grants and all sorts of things. I don't know how much it was, but it was 200, 250,000, something like that, to lift the building up. It was a really tired building. I was looking at the photographs. Andy showed some photographs of Trackers in the 90s in that building. It's like, oh, my goodness, it was a tired building. It needed really... Yeah, I don't. You might remember, if you remember the toilets in that building in the 90s. Oh my word, you would never go. But we did all that. We did all that work, and we were praying about it, and we were praying together about what we should call the building, because we didn't want to call it Hull Baptist Church, because Hull Baptist Church isn't the building. Hull Baptist Church is you and me. The building is a building. It's a tool. It's a resource. And when I went back, and I was looking at some of the stuff that I've got on my computer, I was looking at the church meetings from 2003. Really interesting to read. But you know what the key verse was for us as a church in 2003 when we were praying about this? It was Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 came across about two or three times when we were praying. And we called the church together for prayer times and different things at the time. And it was because we wanted to be a group of people that light shone from. And I think light was a great theme. I was thinking, you know, it was a great theme around that time, because also in 2000, we launched the Light Project, which was Chris Duffett and others, Derry, and Pete was a trustee in those early days. when we set up. And I remember talking to Chris at that time a lot, and he really wanted to have light in the title. And that's really what Chris is and what he's about and the Light Project. So